coming up.
Who can understand, frankly, the mentality of someone who commits this kind of crime?
For Vault Studios, I'm Will Johnson. You're listening to The Daily Crime.
Breaking at noon, a stunning development in a shocking murder case in Madison County. The man on trial for the killing of a prominent attorney pleads guilty to first-degree murder.
A murder trial came to an abrupt end last week outside of St. Louis. I'm joined by Christine Byers, a crime reporter at 5 on Your Side, KSDK in St. Louis. Christine, I know you were there covering the trial of Timothy Banowetz, who was charged with first-degree murder and the stabbing death of Randy Gorey last year in Edwardsville, Missouri. Before we get to what happened inside that courtroom, let's talk about what happened back in January of 2020.
Absolutely. So Randy Gorey was a prominent personal injury attorney based in Edwardsville, Illinois, which isn't far from St. Louis. And he was very well known in the community. He was very altruistic. He was frequently, you know, pictured on social media and with different organizations making donations, philanthropic type of donations and that sort of thing. But he was also very out there publicly on his own social media pages, showing off his Ferrari collection and, you know, some of his eccentric taste. When you have those kind of resources, you have a lot of fun in life. So he was, you know, really out there both with his humanitarian personality and his appetite for fun. So he was very well known. He wasn't, you know, a very shy person at all.
He just loved the community. He wanted to make sure Edwardsville was getting represented. He tried to tap into as much as possible into that community.
His friend says Randy's real love were his two children, who were his pride and joy. The mayor of Edwardsville also knew him and says his heart goes out to the family and Randy's loved ones.
But then this just horrific murder took place in January of last year.
Some news that continues to develop out of Edwardsville. The major case squad is investigating after a man was found dead at his home. The Madison County Sheriff's Office says they got a 911 call and found 47-year-old Randy Gorey dead. His black 2020 Rolls-Royce SUV was stolen from the home also. The major case squad is asking anyone with information to give them a call.
So basically what happened was somebody went to his sprawling Edwardsville estate and stabbed him to death and tied him up and his two children. There was a woman that came. He was actually in the process of getting a divorce, and his girlfriend was headed there to meet his kids for the first time on this particular day. She also traveled with two very large German shepherds, and she apparently interrupted this robbery when it was going on unexpectedly to the suspect. And when the suspect tried to attack her, the dogs had other plans. And so then the suspect took off in Mr. Gorey's 2020 Rolls Royce. And a car like that is rare. And it stands out. So when it ended up at a property nearby, it didn't take long for police to find it. And the suspect's getaway car, which was his own truck, had been towed away because where he parked it was private property. And the property owners found the truck and thought, gee, somebody must have abandoned this truck here. So the suspect didn't have a way to get away from the scene as he had originally planned.
So he abandons this truck. And before we get to how then police caught up with him and then what they found on him when they arrested him, back to that horrible scene inside the house of Randy Gorey, stabbed him to death, but the two children were left unhurt, right?
Yes, they were. And so very true to form, for Mr. Gorey, he was hailed as a hero in this situation because the police very much believe that Mr. Gorey was able to convince his killer to take him to a very distant part of the home away from where his children had been tied up with zip ties. So he convinced Banowetz to take him to another part of the home. So they very much think that he was trying to save his children's lives and was able to at the end.
When police caught up with him My understanding is that he had a note on him that said the following: watch with binoculars from woods, use gun and knife to subdue, zip tie hands and duct tape mouth, have withdraw $4 to $6 million from the bank, kill all of them and take zip ties and duct tape off, burn bodies and house. I mean, just this horrific sort of plan he had handwritten, right?
He basically came out of the woods as officers were searching the area and told officers that he couldn't find his truck. And he still had blood on his shirt. Another interesting thing that happened during the arrest was that apparently he made a statement to officers, something along the lines of, you probably don't need a statement from me. You already have everything you need. And in the process of being arrested, this little handwritten note either falls out of a pocket or falls out of his waistband. It was somewhere on him, and the handwritten note contained what they considered to be a to-do list of what he was going to do.
Timothy Banowetz was charged with first-degree murder. What other evidence were they able to gather as this then went forward and to a trial recently that, as we'll get into, abruptly ended?
So prosecutors actually said that they were going to have about 200 exhibits to enter into evidence during the trial. And some of it, a lot of it included Mr. Banowetz's social media history, his online history, what he was searching for in the months leading up to the murder. And they made a point to mention that Mr. Gorey was not the only wealthy person that he was researching. They didn't name names, so I don't know that we'll ever know who else may have been become a victim at some point in time. But basically, he settled on Mr. Gorey and started stalking his, you know, social media accounts, Facebook page, Instagram, all those things, and even started looking at pictures of his children that were out there as well.
Despite all that evidence, this case was going to trial. A jury had been handpicked, right? And everything was sort of set in place for the prosecution and defense to present their arguments.
Most of the public was in an overflow courtroom because there are still COVID protocols in place and the actual courtroom was pretty small. So I would say there was a good number of people, about 50 people gathered in an overflow courtroom, actually in a different building, not far from the courthouse. And so even though the rules of decorum still apply in that room, I mean, you know, the judge isn't in there and the bailiffs aren't in there, so it's a different vibe. And as soon as the video feed came on the screen and the judge said, it's under my understanding, Mr. Banowetz, that you wish to plead guilty today, I mean, the gasps in the audience were audible. You know, everybody's few mouths dropped to the floor and eyes were racing around looking at everybody like, is this really happening? So it was a big shock to everyone that was there and very unexpected.
Why would Banowetz plead guilty now? Well, nothing focuses the mind like having to face a jury of your peers.
Was it ever explained why he had this change of heart? And was it ever explained why Mr. Gorey was targeted?
So as far as why he decided to plead guilty at the last minute, we were only really left with the speculation on the prosecution's part because Mr. Banowetz's attorneys left the room without commenting. Mr. Banowetz certainly didn't explain why he had a sudden change of heart. And prosecutors basically said there's nothing like facing a jury of your peers to focus the mind, which I thought was a pretty profound speculation as to why he decided to do this at the very last moment. And as far as motive goes in the crime, basically, Mr. Banowetz had a $10,000 tuition payment coming due for his pharmacy school. And he decided the best way to make that payment, which he didn't know how he was going to do, was to find a wealthy person and rob them and murder them. And so once he made up his mind to do that, that's kind of how he proceeded.
What's next for Timothy Banowetz?
So when it comes to what's next for him, the judge has ordered a pre-sentencing report be done, and then from there she will set a sentencing date. Prosecutors said as part of the plea, they are seeking the maximum sentence for these charges, which would be a combined total of 70 years. Had he gone to trial, he could have faced a sentence of life without parole, without the possibility of parole. And prosecutors said that they really don't feel like they're giving up much. State's Attorney Thomas Haynes said, you know, he's brought up the fact that Mr. Banowetz is 30 years old, and with a sentence of 70 years, he'll likely spend the rest of his life in prison for what he's done.
Thanks for listening to The Daily Crime. We're here every weekday with new episodes Monday through Friday. We also have a weekly show covering cases around the country, True Crime Chronicles. Check it out today wherever you listen to podcasts. That's True Crime Chronicles. For Vault Studios, I'm Will Johnson.